This is It Just Takes One. One person, one experience, one idea, one moment to change your life. Here's what's coming up on today's show.
It's all about time and don't waste it. What I would say to anyone that's considering any dream of theirs is it's about time. And as far as a book is concerned, don't put it off until the story's done. I think so many times you put the story ain't done yet. I'm not done yet. I don't know what I'd write about. And you just put it off and you push it down. It's about time.
In 2007, I was at New York Sports Club down on Wall Street in New York City on a Saturday. Wall Street is empty on a Saturday, but New York Sports Club was hopping. And I was there because I was a personal trainer and I needed to get some continuing education credits to maintain my certification. So I had signed up for a course called Sports Performance, and it was taught by somebody named Todd Durkin. I didn't know who he was, but it was a course I was interested in, and I was there to learn. By the time I left that day, I think I had a sense that something in my life had changed. The energy, the authenticity, the knowledge, all of it that Todd brought to that training inspired me. It inspired me to make some connections. It inspired me to become a better trainer. And in 2009, it inspired me to join the Todd Durkin Mastermind Group. My intention to join was that I had a dream to open a training studio. I started on that mastermind journey because I wanted to surround myself with fitness professionals, people who owned businesses, who could teach me, who could lead me, who could mentor me, who could coach me to build that business. 4 months later, Studio 8 Fitness opened its doors, and the trajectory of my life changed forever. Not only did I open the doors of my studio, but through that mastermind program and my coach, Larry Indviglia, I was connected with a woman who helped me write and publish my first book, and then my second book. And then in 2012, Todd invited me to become a coach in his mastermind program and to help coach fitness business professionals from all over the world to help them grow their businesses. Through the mastermind program and through a connection with Todd, I met Greg Justice. And in 2017, we opened the doors to Scriptor Publishing Group. As I sit here, it is 2024. Through Scriptor Publishing Group, we have published more than 200 books. We have helped more than 300 authors become best-selling authors. And everything continues to grow. Now, when I was on Wall Street back in 2007, I could not have foreseen any of this. But it all happened because at the center of it all was my friend, Todd Durkin. Not only has Todd been my coach, my teacher, my mentor, my colleague, but he's now also my business partner. He joined Scriptor Publishing Group as a business partner in 2023. And he's helping us to continue to grow and make more of an impact with what we're doing, helping people write and publish their books. So it has been an incredibly magical journey, an incredibly successful journey, a very meaningful and purposeful journey. And I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time talking with Todd. I've even been on his podcast several times. We talk many times a week with all the projects we have going on. And yet, in all of that time, I have never had the opportunity to interview him until today. In this episode, I had an opportunity to sit down with Todd. He was actually here in upstate New York last week in Corning, New York. He was visiting our good friends Travis and Cindy Barnes at Journey Fitness, the franchise that they own down there in Sayre, Pennsylvania, Corning, and Horseheads. And Todd was doing some programming there. So I took the opportunity to drive down and record this podcast interview for you. In the way that Todd can, he brings so much energy and passion to everything that he does. And I think as you listen to this episode, you are going to hear the main message that all of the projects that are going on and all of the opportunities that exist and all of the vision that he has, one thing remains true. And that is his purpose to coach people to make an impact on their lives. I'm going to let him fill you in on much more. So I invite you to sit back and listen in as Todd and I finally had a chance to sit down and connect. Todd, can you believe we finally made it? Look at us, finally.
We're in New York, upstate New York, baby, upstate New York. I'm really excited to be here. Welcome to my home. It's not my home.
If you look out the window, it's really not your home because we are in the woods here.
It's snowing out. I love it. I'm happy. It's really great to be back here. And the fact, Kelly, that you can come down just a couple hours south and come play for a little bit. When I was back here, it's like, Kelly, you got to come down. Let's do a podcast together. And it's been an awesome couple of days and really appreciate you coming on over here and then joining in for all of our great listeners today as we talk scripture and all the things about writing and that to do it in a home like this is just awesome.
It's just awesome. So I'm so excited you're here. So excited to talk about writing, to talk about books, talk about marketing your books. And let's just dive right in.
Let's go.
I was thinking about how much writing means to you. And anybody who's been following you knows that writing is a part of your, literally your everyday routine. But I don't know when writing became so important to you. Can you share a little bit about when you realized that writing was something more than just turning in book reports in high school or something?
Yeah, it actually was a little bit before that in high school. It actually was in middle school. And my first real experience, besides, you know, when you're younger, you're doing your writing exercises for school, happened to do with becoming an All-American in Pop Warner football. And I was nominated as one of the Pop Warner All-Americans going into my eighth grade year, your Pop Warner big year. And Coach Joe Morris, I'll never forget him. He nominated me to be an All-American. And that was a really big honor because only 50 young boys would actually receive that honor. So my first memory of this is we had to do, I think it was 10 essays. I'm like, 10 essays? 10 essays? So my father, who was a great writer, he taught me how to write. I still remember we're in New Jersey, 13 Edgewood Drive, Brick, New Jersey. In the basement, we had a ping pong table, and he always had legal yellow pads with him, and he scribbled all this stuff all the time. When I was growing up, I'd see scribble, and he was letting his pen flow. So I still remember the lesson when I had the 10 questions. I believe you had to pick out of the 10. I believe you had to pick or choose 6 of the 10 questions and do an essay on it. And I'll never forget. He had sections like 10 questions of paper, the yellow notepad, legal pad. And he said, this is what you have to do. Take the question and you have to let your pen flow. You have to have a really strong introduction to hook whoever's listening and reading this. You got to hook them. You got to have your points. You need a really strong close. And I'll never forget. He gave me an example and it was like this. It's 3rd and 15. The crowd is loud. I walk up to the line of scrimmage and I gaze out over the defense and I know that my number is called. And as I gaze across the defense, my number is called. I can see that this is going to be a winning play. Today is going to be my day. It's touchdown time. It's our time. And I was like, God, I had goosebumps of like, I still remember him saying this. And as I was doing that, I started to take the practice he was teaching me to let the pen flow. Now, back then, computers didn't exist in 1984. I still remember it was 1984. And I was letting the pen flow, learning how to just don't edit, don't go back, don't try to be perfect, just write, good, flip the page and do another one. Flip the page and do another intro. Same thing, flip the page. And then out of the three, four, or five, which introduction is the most capturing? Which one is going to really be the essence? And then, you know, obviously you have your body of your essay of your three or four or five points that you're going to make, and then the close. And how are you going to close that? But over the course of several weeks, I did that exercise and I came up with my six and I submitted my application and the Pop Warner All-American Scholar Athlete Award wasn't just on football prowess. You had to be a really good football player with stats, but you also had to be a student. And part of being the student with a good GPA at the time was also being able to write. And those six essays, I believe, helped put me over the edge to be one of the 50 young boys at that time to be an All-American. Because listen, even at that age, when you get an award like that, when you're in eighth grade and you get All-American, you start to dream and you start to think, hey, I could be special. If I could continue to be good in high school and be an all-county or all-state or all-American in that, then I got a future in that. But that's how I got introduced to writing. It was because of the Pop Warner All-America Scholar Athlete Award that I eventually received. And I believe that that writing process and my father's teaching, he had something to do with it, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Exactly what I'm thinking is it's one thing to sit down and say, I have to write these essays and I kind of have a dream of, you know, maybe doing something with this. It's another to have somebody take the time
and
really show you and teach you and give you an opportunity to practice and get better at it.
And flow. And learning how to flow, I think, was really good, of not being in your head, but letting your pen flow and just going with it and not trying to be perfect. And then going back after several iterations and then correcting it after getting everything out. Because I learned that at a young age in middle school. And I took that same ability to write and obviously continued to strengthen it after that.
Beautiful. But when after that, did you think maybe someday I'll write a book? Writing's one thing, essays for an application are another thing, but writing a book is a whole other idea. When did that come to you?
Well, interesting. I believe that process started a trigger that maybe someday I would, but I didn't know, like high school, like what I would even write about. I didn't know what I was going to do. Or I kind of liked the idea because back then, again, different era, you know, books were so wildly popular and social media and everything else wasn't even an option. It was you write a book, but you had to be kind of famous to write a book, I thought. And obviously I have much different beliefs now, but a lot more people, I think, read back then as well. And to me, interesting enough, Kelly, is it probably wasn't until I was 20 that I maybe really considered strongly someday I might write a book, meaning this, even at 20, I didn't. But in the last letter that my dad ever wrote to me, this was his last letter that I received in my mailbox after his death. He prognosticated that someday, regardless of what you do, a teacher, a coach, a doctor, a physical therapist, an author, a speaker. He actually put in there author and speaker. And now when I look at what I do, those are two things that I do. It's part of my DNA now is as a writer, not just obviously of books, but that was the first seed that was really planted. Like, you know, my dad taught me that when I was in eighth grade. So what, you're 13 years old, and now 20, that seed was really planted. Like, hey, maybe I have the skill set to someday, when I'm an old man, whatever that meant, maybe want to write a book. And that seed was planted, and that's all you need.
Yeah, really. And I know that that letter meant something to you.
So have it.
You've mentioned, and people, if they followed you, know that your father wrote you letters every day.
Yeah, handwritten letters. Handwritten letters I received every single day in college in my mailbox when everyone else was getting silver smiles, they call them, silver smiles. You get in there, you open your mailbox, and there's nothing in there. You go to your mailbox every single day. Not only was there a handwritten note typically on the back of a McDonald's menu, but there were newspaper clippings from the Asbury Park Press back in Jersey, and there were little tidbits here and there, but there was always an envelope every day. So his practice, his daily routine was he would write something. Sometimes it was short, a couple sentences on the back of the menu. And sometimes it was long, several page letters that he would write. And I sometimes now think as a dad, you know, I've got a 21, 18, and 15-year-old, man, it's so much easier to text. It's so much easier just to do an audio or a video and send them a message. But man, to sit down and write a letter, how impactful that is and how powerful that is to actually get a pen and paper and send it snail mail, and for them to get it, like the power behind that is so much more than just another text. Hey son, I love you, keep up the great work, I'm really proud of you. No doubt it's important, I do that, but to write a letter to this day, I think, how did he do it? Now I don't know the answer, other than I guess when you make a commitment, like I'm going to write every day, it becomes part of your daily routine. That was part of what his routine was. And maybe that was part of his whole of even his process of communicating to his son. I'm the youngest of 8 kids, who was 7 hours away in an era where there were no email. There wasn't text. I wasn't even available. So that's how you communicated. But to still have those letters, Kelly, let me tell you what, I'll have them till the day I die. And I'll pass those on to my kids and everything else too, because the power of the written word, man, there's nothing like it.
That's exactly right. And the power of the written word that doesn't go away just because we've now moved to different kinds of technologies.
Yeah, 100%.
And I also, just thinking about that last letter that you got after he passed away, obviously such an emotional letter. And in it, he plants this seed for you to become an author. Just an idea out of all the list of things he puts there, this is something that's on that list. And it makes me think about how many people come to us and say, people have told me I should be an author. People tell me I should write a book. People say I've got a great story and I should write a book. And how important it is to take those words that people share with you and move them forward. So you decide somewhere at age 20, that this might be something to happen somewhere down the road. If someone listening has had someone plant that seed for them, what do you say to them about why they should go ahead and write a book? If someone has said to them, you have a story that's worth sharing, or you have a chance to be an author someday, what are 1, 2, 3 reasons why somebody would do that?
Well, I'll say this, and I'll go back to the letter, because the letter he wrote me wasn't really about becoming an author or that, because he didn't say in that letter, I'm going to die if I don't feel good. It was a letter that was written the day before he had a heart attack. But what the letter was really about, Kelly, was time. He said, it's all about time. Your time in college, your time as a football player, it's all about time. Someday when you become a teacher, coach, doctor, physical therapist, author, speaker, it's all about time and don't waste it. What I would say to anyone that's considering any dream of theirs is it's about time. And as far as a book is concerned, don't put it off until the story's done. I think so many times you put the story ain't done yet. I'm not done yet. I don't know what I'd write about. And you just put it off and you push it down. It's about time. And that's the one thing that that letter, it was all about time. As a dad now and a husband now, I realize it's about time. And it's the different perspectives you have on time that are really important. And for me, I think about a book. And maybe, I believe, this is my own personal opinion, I think everyone's got a book in them, one. Whether it's a short book, it's a collaborative book, it's a long book, it's a fiction book, a nonfiction book. I think the process of writing a book is a really powerful thing for your legacy. Like, well, Todd, I don't like to write. There's other ways to write a book without having to actually write the book. Now, and we can talk about that later if you want, but there's a lot of ways that you can get your story out on paper to make sure that your grandkids, great-grandkids, and generations to come know about you and what makes you divinely unique. And to me, it's about time. So really the one thing, not two or three, is we all have a finite amount of time here on earth, and none of us are guaranteed that. So number one, why not wait? Well, you know, don't wait until a certain time in your life to do what you want to do. Do it now. Do it this year. Don't wait. And ultimately, when it comes to writing that book, start that process now. Journaling, my wow book, it was a journal of over 5 years. I just took the journal and had an assistant help me curate it enough to make it into a book. It was essentially a journal of thoughts. Every book that you write might be different. Maybe it's just one book, but you can have professional help with that too.
Yeah. And the wow book was your second book. You started with Impact Body Plan, which often we still hear. In fact, in one of our recent coaching programs that we launched, one of the people found you because they saw the yellow Impact Body Plan on the shelf at Barnes & Noble and picked that book off just a couple of years ago. And that's how they started following you. So that book you wrote in what year? When did you write it?
2010. Drew Brees had just won the Super Bowl. I had been turned down by multiple publishers at the time because who's Todd Durkin, gym owner? Like, who is this guy? No, we're not interested. And again, social media and everything else is just kind of starting at this point. So I didn't have much of a following per se. But I've been turned down. Drew wins the Super Bowl 2010. Well, all of a sudden the phone starts to ring. And 6 months later, I have a quote book publishing deal from Rodale and Men's Health. And I wrote the Impact Body Plan. The Impact Body Plan, it's a 10-week life transformation program. Body, mind, and soul. But that was written in 2010.
And the beginning of many, because then came the Wow book, and then came a collaborative book, What's Next, that we published in 2022. Let's talk a little bit about collaborative books. That was a book that we did with 27 authors.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about the process of writing a collaborative book. And if someone's thinking about it, what would be a reason for them to want to be part of that?
That's one of the ways that you can write a book. You don't have to write a whole book. You could write a chapter of a book. So the Impact Body Plan, I actually had two co-authors, ghostwriters, help me write that because they needed it done in 10 weeks. Wow book. So 10 weeks. Next book, the Wow book, was over 5 years. It took 5 years. I was journaling, and it was 52 ways to create your best year, right? 52 weeks. So it was like, oh, wow, the word of the week. That's how it all stemmed. And then in 2020, my Get Your Mind Right book came out. So the Get Your Mind Right book, the third book, actually was, I did have assistance with that because of the pandemic had hit and everything else. But that was like, man, I'm a Get Your Mind Right kind of guy. So it was Get Your Mind Right came out, number three. And then I don't know about you, Kelly, but someone probably listening today, there was so much confusion during this pandemic time of 2021, 22. So I'm like, man, what's next? And this is my own thought process. And many times your book can be your own confusion. For me, sometimes a book is therapy. It becomes your therapy because you're just having a think dump on paper. Like, what's next to me was my prognostication of what's next. What really is next? So I went to some of my friends and colleagues and folks who I had been coaching and said, hey, I'd like to write a collaborative book. Well, what's a collaborative book? Collaborative book is I'll write a chapter, you write a chapter, and let's get, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 of us, good people that can write a very strong chapter on whatever your niche is in this particular instance. What do you think is what's next? And to me, I broke it down into, you know, mindset and, you know, physicality, like in the fitness pros. But we had many different sectors in there that dealt with different areas of wellness, health, fitness, other occupations. And what that is it ended up being an amazing group of people, many, not all, many of who had never written a book before. You, Kelly, helped them really curate their stories and add into what became What's Next, and a really proud moment for me to be part of a collaborative initiative to help over 20 people become authors. And that book went out there, and it really was my first project of many collaborative projects. I love doing it. Number one, getting the book out there to many new audiences, because now those other people were exposed to my audience, and my audience was exposed to them. So if they have a program on anything, mindset coaching or on health or many different doctors or whoever it was, now they were exposed to my audience and vice versa. So it's a very smart way to amplify your brand. Oh, I don't have a following. Well, you don't need a following. If you build the brand strategically, and the collaborative book is one way that you can really amplify your brand.
And because of that, and all the reasons that a lot of people come to us and say, I don't even know where to begin to write a book. Writing an entire book sounds very overwhelming. Mm. Writing a chapter can be something that's doable. It feels like it's something that they can accomplish. And it might be a stepping stone maybe at some point to their own book if they want to go that way.
Absolutely. It can go either way, right? Like I wrote Impact Body Plan first because that's what I was called to do. I don't even know if collaborative books existed in 2010, frankly. But whether it's your own book or a collaborative book first or vice versa, sometimes it's just where you're at right now in your walk of like, it's an intimidating process. So let's start with something where I can partner up with you, Todd, or whoever, and get involved with that, and then see if I can start to grow my following and list and be part of a collaborative effort to all of us market. There's 25, let's go 25 people. If we put 25 marketing efforts into it, well, then that's better than just one. Well, I don't have a lot of people. Yeah, but you know, 100 people or 200 people that you know, and that is going to serve because everyone knows 100 people, right? And the ultimate thing of any book project, at least in any book that I do, is how are we going to change a life? What is this book going to do to change a life? Now, there's obviously other ways. Your book doesn't have to change lives. You may not want to do that. But for me, any book is like, how is this going to change someone's life? And that's what I focused on in all my different initiatives.
Yeah. And it actually leads into the collaborative book project that you're working on this year. Yeah. On a topic really near and dear to your heart. It's a book on coaching greatness. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about coaching greatness. What does that mean to you? What are you looking forward to in this new collaborative book?
Well, this year, 2024, my theme is iconic, right? So everyone's got their own theme. Hopefully you have a theme by now. If you don't, get one. But I want to create an iconic year. And for me, iconic year, I'm actually going to write two books, right? So the one book that I'll be writing is Coaching Greatness. And my whole life's been about coaching. What does that mean? Like, well, I've been coached by some greats. Stepping all the way back to Pop Warner, Coach, you know, Joe Mars, Coach Bonavito, Coach Wolf, all of these guys had significant impact in my life, significant, shaped me as a man. I've also not had good coaches in my life. That shaped me as a coach. Like you learn what you don't want to do and how to do it, both athletically and all of that. I've had coaches that I never want to coach like this, whether I'm a football coach, a sport coach, or a business coach or a life coach. I don't want to be like that. So in being a coach now, going from having coaches all my life into the business world at about age 30, when I really started hiring business coaches and life coaches on that aspect. So this day, I have a coach like everyone else should have a coach. The last decade and a half, I've also been a coach for many people through our mastermind program and through God-sized dreams that you helped with. And now with our Impact X coaching program, through our impact coaching certification. Like, coaching is my divine uniqueness. If I say, hey, what's your divine uniqueness? I love to coach. If I'm coaching football, I'm happy as a pig. If I'm coaching business, it's probably my real, like, when I'm getting into business and that life crossover, I think that's my sweet spot of speaking and preaching into people of how you can maximize your talents and gifts. But to me, it comes down to coaching, the art of a great coach. What is that? To me, that book, Coaching Greatness, is really going to be one where my side is my experiences as a coach. And what does it take to be a great coach? But I know this, that's me as a human being, what it takes. I'm also around a lot of other great coaches, and they're not all like me, and they're still great coaches, right? Kelly, you're an example. You're a great coach. One of the best coaches I know in the world, but we're different. That's a good thing, because who you connect with and how we coach in some of our other programs is different than how I might do it. But if you collaborate with other great coaches, watch out. So the whole purpose of that collaborative book and Coaching Greatness is, I'm going to go deep on what Coaching Greatness is, but I'm also going to partner up with other people who are coaches of different levels, but who I would say, these are great coaches. They have the ability to change lives. Life coaches, business coaches, spiritual faith-based coaches, athletic coaches, sport coaches. Like, how do you change people's lives? Because a great coach can communicate, listen, and love on their people and ultimately transform someone's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm thinking about it. If you are somebody who is interested in writing and maybe even doing a chapter in a collaborative book, and you have had the experience of having a great coach or have something to say about Coaching Greatness, we do have some openings on that. And I'll make sure that I put the link into the notes if you're interested in learning more about that or even participating in that collaborative book project coming out this year.
Yeah, I know we haven't talked a lot about that because we haven't gone there yet. I mean, this is probably the first time publicly we're sharing that as you just shared, and you'll be hearing more about it. But the unfortunate part of a collaborative book is we can only have so many people, you know, right? So that's the one thing is, I would say if someone's interested in it or is curious about it, just to reach out, is because maybe it's the right thing for you or maybe it's not. But a lot of times I get asked, hey, would you be interested in partnering in this or that? And it's impossible to partner in everything. But I believe, because in the power of writing, the power of books, is I want these books in people who want to be coached in some way. Could be a kid. It could be an athlete. It could be a young entrepreneur. It could be an old entrepreneur. It could be someone who's reinventing themselves. And they're reinventing themselves of, man, I need some good coaching. I want to hear from Todd, but I would really love to hear from Kelly and the other collaborators who will be in the book. And to me, that's what makes it exciting. This isn't just my book. This is a book of some of the top coaches who coach greatness.
Fantastic. And it is not the only book project that you have going this year. That's one. But you have another book that will come out before that. And I want you to take some time and dig into it a little bit, because you are literally in the process together.
Oh.
Anyone who has not had the experience of putting a book together and kind of wants to know behind the scenes what this is like, I would love for you to share a little bit of your process with this other book that's coming out this year that's called True Strength.
Mm. Man, I am in the weeds right now, fully in the weeds. So if you're like, man, I can't do that, I don't even know what to do. Well, I'm obviously in the weeds right now. And Kelly, as you know, I've been sharing that with those in our marketing membership of how to write a book and what you have to face step by step and go through that. But it's interesting when you are writing a book of any kind, and you do some soul searching of what do I want out of this? What's my goal to this? And each book for me, Impact Buy Plan, Wow Book, Get Your Mind Right, What's Next, all of these books had different goals, but ultimately was to change someone's life. True Strength is a book I never, ever, ever, ever dreamt of doing. It's not something that I ever wanted to even do, the True Strength book. Because it really is based on some really challenging times of the last few years that I never prognosticated, I never saw coming, but I had to really battle through. True strength, and interesting, I'm not going to give away because I'm literally writing it as we speak right now, the intro, which is baffling. Like how I could have never, ever, ever imagined how the name True Strength came about. But I'll share this is, you know, when you're writing and you're in the process of writing a book, you get immersed in the process. You go back. And it's been an interesting few weeks and months of feeling the pain of 2020, 21, 22, and even into 2023, of reliving 4 years of, in many ways, pain. Whereas some folks who might be listening now, like, wait, Todd, you created a book during the pandemic. Wait, you had retreats during the pandemic. Yeah, what did I say earlier? Sometimes my books and my retreats, therapy. It's my own way of expressing true strength. It's supernatural with what I'm going to share of what happened. And if you have listened to my podcast, The Todd Erickson Impact Show, I shared some of it in being real and authentic, as I always try to be. With some that I went through, but really coming on the other side, the True Strength book is when you're going through any adversity, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, when you're battling, going through that adversity, what's on the other side and what are the principles? What are the principles that you can hold onto by dear life to get through that time and come out on the other side thinking, wow, I can't believe that just happened. And thank God it did. How do you change it from a place of, and Kelly, I don't know if I almost died or not, but let me tell you, there were days I thought I might die. Literally, I might. And to come out on the other side feeling like I haven't felt in over a decade of energy, vibrance, health, mindset, like I am more on fire right now in 2024 than I ever have been. And it's cathartic to write this book, not to put that behind me, because we did that at the Shift retreat. We drew a line in the sand, if you remember, with the retreat, but in really in looking forward to what's coming down the pike, well, with True Strength book and with, you know, Coaching Greatness book and a live event we're going to do in Los Angeles in July for anyone, not just Fip Rose, like authors, speakers, you're a mom or dad who's looking to reinvent. Like, this is going to be an empowerment event that I haven't even announced yet. I haven't announced it and you're hearing it, but we're working on everything right now. And by the time this airs in a couple of weeks, it'll probably be out. But by March 1st, all of the details will be out on that event. But I'm really excited. But all of that's from True Strength right now.
I'm really glad you brought up the cathartic piece because oftentimes when we're talking to authors, they're coming to write their story because they've been through something, some kind of adversity. And when they go to write, it becomes that cathartic experience where you get to process it in a whole new way. It's one thing when you're processing it in your head. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when you can get it onto the page and you can look at it out here or even just release it. So oftentimes when I'm working with an author and I'm coaching them through the writing process, I'll encourage them to just write.
Yeah.
Don't worry about editing it.
That's right.
Don't take it away. Just write everything because they might have that cathartic experience. And then we'll go back and edit. Mm-hmm. We'll go back and fix it later. I always tell them it's kind of like the person that's doing the sculpting needs the clay. And so when you write and you dump it onto the page, it's like you're dumping all that clay. And then the editor will sculpt it. The editor will help you fix it. But I'm curious, and just kind of sharing with people your behind the scenes, is that your process? Do you just dump the clay out and then have the person that you're collaborating with and your editors fix it? Or are you a fixer? where do you fall in that process?
Yeah, pardon the pun, clay. I have a co-writer on this project because it's really deep. And I'm called to do this now. I'm called to do it now, not next year. I'm being called and have been called in late 2023. I was called to do it and not wait. So that's why I'm fitting two books into 2024, is because I got to put this first before I talk about coaching greatness, because it's happened, but it's all part of what's happened in the past, not just the last 3 or 4 years, but going back and you step back. So to me, the process is I do have a collaborative writer, a ghost writer, if you would say. And it's really awesome because I love to write. And when you have a ghostwriter, it doesn't mean you don't write. It actually doesn't mean, oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to tell them stories and that's it, depending on your relationship with the ghostwriter. I love to write. I know based on my initiatives and plans and what I'm doing now in 2024, I can't be a full-time writer writing a book. And my schedule is fairly thin. I love to write. So if I can write in the evenings and on weekends, and Clay and I have a relationship where for a long time, he's helped me on some of my other projects that started with a 3-day intensive, came out 3-day intensive late in December. And I'm saying, when I say 3-day intensive, I'm talking locked up, shut off all phones. And we're going to a whiteboard, which I love whiteboards. And we're going to outline everything up on here. And we're going to talk story and record it all. And Kelly, I must have cried 30 times in 3 days. I slept for the first time ever 9+ hours both nights because I was so exhausted that I was emotionally going back into a time that I really didn't want to, but I needed to share to the reader the pain. Why? A lot of times the reader's like, wait, you, Todd, you dealt with that. Because a lot of times you're reading or on social media or something, and you don't even know the deep story behind. Someone makes assumptions that it's, oh, he wrote another book. Oh, she did this. And no, there's always a story behind it. And I want people to feel that. I want people to know that. So that was the first process. And now we have, we have weekly big calls, but we have daily messages, both email and audio messages that help us write. And then I'll go in and write as well, parts to really enhance my stories that I want to go deeper on. But it's a collaborative communication between that writer. You don't have to do that. On this one, I'm certainly doing it. And ones, that you don't need a collaborative ghostwriter by any means. On this one, I'll have a writer help me elaborate on my stories.
And because this is a very emotional book and it's powerful, you're going to do some different things with the marketing of it as well. And marketing, and we always say writing the book is one thing. Marketing the book is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about where you are in your thought process for the marketing of the book? And then also maybe on a more general scale, if somebody's writing a book, when do you think is the best time for them to start thinking about the marketing process? And, just share some of your thoughts on what someone out there might get for marketing.
So when does the marketing start? If you're thinking about it, It starts today. Like today, you start marketing your book today. As you're listening, it's like, what do you mean today? The biggest mistake that any author will make is they write the book and then the book is written and then they start the marketing and think a 4-week marketing funnel is going to really sell the book. Well, you need an audience. And you need an audience that likes, trust, and love, and they really love what you're about. So they trust you and that you've built that up so that when it comes out, they feel like they're part of the story. So it starts today. Now, I want to put all my time and attention into writing because I'm busy. Yes, no doubt. But start to share once a week, a couple times a week, even the process of your book writing process, or look for not to get ahead, but like a book launch team that eventually your closest friends, maybe some family members, colleagues could help on a 10, 20, 30 person book launch team that could help you eventually market your book. I would say the common mistake that most authors would make is they get their book out there and they don't have the audience that yet that they want to sell the book. Now, that means you may not want to make a lot of sales with your book. Maybe it's you're writing the book because you need to have that cathartic download of whatever it is. Nothing has bad to have had to have happened to you for you to write your book. It could have nothing to do with your story, but you want an audience. I'll go a little bit deeper and get your mind right. I had a traditional publisher. The traditional publisher, before they even asked me what my story was about, how many followers do you have? What do you mean, how many followers do I have? Instagram, Facebook, podcast, email, total them all up. How many followers do you have? Okay, great. They make you an offer based on the number of followers you have. What is that? Why is that important? Because it's all for them a calculation of how many books you're going to sell. So it's all a calculation for them based on the number of followers you have, how many people are going to buy your book. I learned that lesson and I was like, okay, it's a numbers game. So for them, right, they got to sell books. They got to sell books to get the return that they're going to give you in advance. One of the reasons why I love self-publishing is because if you learn how to market yourself now and build your audience, then you're in control of that in all aspects of your book versus not. Now, if you have a massive audience and you just want to get paid, that's one way to do it, is to go that route. But most people don't have massive audiences and just want to get paid. There's a deeper play there that they want to make an impact. They want to control and not just get a dollar a book because of, you know, they went through a big publisher and all of those things come into play. Be one of the goals if you were working with Scripter and you, Kelly, you'll be like, okay, what are your goals for the book? What do you want to achieve? Maybe it is to make money. Fantastic if it is. Or maybe it's you want to expand your audience. You want to use it as a business card to go in and speak more. You just want to get your story out for your generations to come, like one of the folks who recently wrote a book. So it depends on the goals of your book, but that's a little bit of the
Very, very good. And you brought a couple things up that I want to bring back. One is building the audience is so important. And at the same time, so many people, you've heard it, I've heard it, so many people will come and say, but I don't want to be a commercial for myself. I don't want to be out there selling myself, selling my book. And one of the things you just said is when you start marketing now, you actually bring your audience into the process. Yes. You make them part of the process. So it's not that you're selling to them, you're bringing them into it. So can you talk a little bit more to somebody who says, I know I need a market, but I don't want to be a commercial for myself. I'm not comfortable selling myself or selling my book. What are some reasons that they need to market and what do you have to say to them?
I'll say two things real quick. Number one, get over it. Stop. Believe in yourself. Stop selling yourself short. God, because the second thing I'll say is a book is only $20 or $30 or $40. $20, $34. $20 to $30 to $40. And someone pours their life into it. Is my book worth $40? Man, it better be. And I better believe in the $40 life story, that all of the blood, sweat, tears, literally, surgeries, pain, frustrations, all of that, is that worth $40 to a reader? I have built my confidence knowing now that this one book could change one life. For $20 or $29 or $39, is this book worth it? You better believe in that, because if you don't believe in a book, then how can you sell your $500 coaching program, your $1,000 coaching program, or your $100,000 coaching program if you can't sell a $30 book? Even if the book isn't designed to change lives, it's you and your story that is so eloquently putting your best work out there because you want your generations to understand it. Wait, what? So they understand how people can be gun shy, but why? We're talking about a book. One book is less than $50. Heck, now it's typically $29 or $39 for a book. And yet you could have it delivered to your house in 2 days. So you're getting my life, like true strength. You're telling me you're getting this story, which, Kelly, if I was to really put a value on what that is for me, you know what? I can't even do it. I can't even say it's worth X thousand dollars because I thought I was going to die and I'm going to sell a book for whatever it's going to sell for. I get so passionate about when people struggle with the price of a book or they don't want to sell their book because what are they going to think? You got to get over it because you're worth it. It's essentially you are worth it. You're worth whatever that is. And that book could be 49 pages. It doesn't have to be 225 pages. It's not about how long it is, how great it is, and how much action someone's going to take if your book is designed to change someone's life on that. So I get a little passionate, if you can tell, because, well, probably because that used to be me. Like, youngies and eight kids, divorced parents, not a lot of money. Am I worth that? I always struggle with that. But now when I look at like the time, energy, and what I put into it and how much it costs me, time and energy and money to put into creating a book. And I said, wait, it's $29 for the book? Okay, well, you better hope you sell 1,000 of them or 10,000 of them and you know whatever it is. But how do you sell 1,000 books? How do you sell 1,000 books? You better be confident that you're going to do it. Well, I only have 150 people on my social media or 1,000 people on my social media. Start networking with the right people. Start getting on the right people. Start getting your messaging out there and hoping something goes viral. Like, you got to put yourself out there. Otherwise, if you don't, how are they going to find you? They're not just going to find you today's day. It's too competitive. But your story is unique. When I say your story is unique, you got to share your story. And sometimes like, well, they only knew that. Share it. Share that. Share that and watch what happens in them. All of a sudden, like, people are like, what? I didn't know that. I didn't know you had that much pain. I didn't know you went through that as a kid. I didn't know. Yep. And watch what happens. Now your book becomes the talk of the town because did you read Jane's book? Did you read Mary's book or Bill's book? And next thing you know, people are talking about it. So for me, it's all about your self-worth. And how do you improve your self-worth is, well, rewind what I just said. Make sure you believe in yourself.
Yeah, put it on repeat a few times.
Yeah.
Great points and great message for any of you that have thought to yourself, how am I ever going to get out there and sell my book? Listen to this, put it on repeat, and let Todd fire you up as well. But I know that there's people that are getting excited about it after hearing this and kind of seeing your passion and hearing some of the stories about how you're writing your book. If someone is listening and they're thinking, I really got to do this. It's time. What are one or two things that you want to share with them about how they can get started?
So if you're fired up and you're excited, here's what I would say. This is the true test. It's a combination of passion and getting fired up, but also getting butt glue and sitting down. And that's what I love about writing, honestly, is if you've ever been exposed to me previously, they're like, oh, that's the energy guy. Oh, that's the guy who's done all these fitness things. But Kelly, one of the reasons why I think I love writing so much is because I can go to a space where I just me and I can go deep. Because I think we have both the yin and the yang in all of us. We all have that. And if I can get into a trance of writing, then now all of a sudden I can really have a dump on paper. I can just start to write. And go there. So for me, I think it's not just getting excited because everyone gets excited. Like, man, I would love to do that. That sounds great, Todd. Good. The way you get started is you sit your butt down and you start to dream. You start to think about what you want to write about. Write about it. Share it with a coach. Get a coach and say, I think I have an idea that could work. Then you get feedback from the coach, and the coach is giving you feedback, and your mind is being opened up to all of the different ways that maybe your story or your thought of your book might lead to something to change someone else's life. Again, I keep coming from changing someone else's life. That's where my books go, but it doesn't even have to. You can write a darn romance novel if you want. I wouldn't be good at writing one of those, but whatever your book is about is, it is, sit your tail down, but also get a coach, because I love the quiet time, but I also love to share with my inner circle of here's my thought process on true strength and what I'm thinking about, sitting down and getting butt glue and writing and sharing that. So you can really then go to the whiteboard and write out and outline my mission, the purpose of this book, the outline of the book. What are the 10 chapters or the 31 chapters or the 57 chapters or whatever it is that you want to write? And, you know, I'm also around some other great authors, Pastor Jeremiah, you know, one of the best, most iconic pastors and authors of our time. He's always sharing me wisdom about his like marketing strategy. I'm like, that's a whole other level. I'm like, man, I'm not going to be there anytime soon. But when you hear that thought process, it opens my mind into, hey, I can do a better job in how I share that or how I package that. And what I'm trying to do, you know, with you, Kelly, and Greg and Scripter is, how can I help lend that wisdom to a young author, an author who wants to expand and amplify their own audience into using some of the strategies to do that? The book nowadays, well, there's a lot of things, but it's a legacy project, but it's also a way for you to expand into whatever your skill, you want to speak. A book is a great way to go into audiences and speak on your book topic. There's a lot of different ways it could be positioned.
We could go on forever about lots of different ways that you can get your book out there and things you can do with it.
100%.
But for today's purpose, I'm thinking that people are interested. If they haven't seen you, they haven't heard of you, they haven't purchased your books, if they did want to find you, where's the best place to send them so that they can find out more?
Well, you go to Scripted Publishing.
Absolutely.
Or just go to tydurkin.com, our website. I'm on social media. Certainly at Todd Durkin on Instagram, but ToddDurkin.com has everything I do and it's got all of our books as well. And ToddDurkin.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Before we finish, I'd love to do a quick rapid fire.
Okay.
And just I have a couple of starter sentences that I'd like you to finish.
Okay.
Just what comes to mind.
Great.
So if I start the sentence, can you finish it? Writing is
cathartic. I get one word.
You can say more if you'd like.
Writing is cathartic. For me, it's peace. When I'm writing, I'm at peace because I'm just like, it's just my thoughts. So what's interesting, Melanie, my wife, has always said this. Whenever something bad happens, I escape real quick and go to my room and I start to write. It's my way of making sense out of nonsense. To me, it's cathartic to be able to write, and also to that journaling, which is a form of writing, right? But to me, it's cathartic. When I'm writing, I'm peaceful, I'm happy, I'm content. Yep.
Books can
change your life, literally, because they've changed mine in ways that the number of people I hear from that have read The Impact Body Plan or The Wow Book, or Get Your Mind Right, or What's Next. Books can change your life, and books can change lives. It can change your life, but it can change a lot of other lives too. Maybe it's 100 people, maybe it's 1,000 people, maybe it's 100,000 people, but books can change lives and they can change your life. They can change your life because they're going to amplify your brand and your mission and your purpose, which is great because you want to amplify that. But when you're also changing other people's lives, that's big. And that goes all the way back to The Impact Body Plan. And I learned that way back is, wow, I'm reaching someone in New York that read the book, that's going through cancer, that he's saying that The Impact Body Plan saved his life. I don't even know who that is. The power of a book is you don't need to know necessarily until you know who that is. And with now social media, it's a great way that you can really start to meet new people. Yep.
And finally, it just takes one.
It just takes one. Just takes one dream. Just takes one dream. If you have a dream, if you can think it, you can dream it. If you can dream it, you can do it. It takes a dream to get started. It just takes one dream.
if you are somebody that is thinking about this at all, Todd's right. I would love to talk with you. I'll tell you, I think so much about how Scripture came to be and that it came about from a conversation that you actually began with Greg and then with me, and how much I believe in writing, how powerful I think writing is, the power of the word that you're putting on the page, not just for your own catharsis, which of course is important, but like you said, Todd, for the impact, the transformation that it can have on that one person who picks it up. And so if I can help you figure out how to make that impact happen, I'm here and I would love to do that. So I'll make sure I put that contact information down below as well. Todd, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Only the beginning. Much more to come.
Only the beginning.
Again, I'll put all the notes down below. Thanks for joining us today and we'll be in touch.
Peace.
I really enjoyed having that time to sit down and interview Todd. And I was actually especially touched by the story of how he became interested in writing. When he talked about being in eighth grade and wanting to write an essay for this football award, and how his dad took the time to sit down and really teach him about good writing and how to make writing something that would be intriguing and make people want to read it. Sometimes I think we see somebody where they are now and we don't really know the backstory of how that all began. And I feel like that moment was a seed that was planted that has continued to bloom in incredible ways for Todd. I also hope it was helpful for you to hear a little bit of the backstory of sort of the back end version of what happens when you're writing a book. Todd mentioned that he has two books coming out this year, True Strength, which will come out in June, and Coaching Greatness, which will come out in October. If you've ever thought about writing a book and you didn't really know what it entails, or you didn't know where to begin, I think this interview, the conversation, showed you a little bit of the behind the scenes of what it takes to write a book. And hopefully it makes you realize it's doable. It's not without work, but it's doable. I'm also glad that Todd talked a lot about the marketing of the book, because certainly writing it is one piece, publishing it is another, but getting it out to the world so that they know you've got something that can help them is a whole other story. And Todd is brilliant at marketing. He has a passion for finding new and creative ways to get information out because of his driving purpose to impact people. And so if you've struggled with how to get your book out into the world, or how to find ways to be creative in your marketing process, or even just to have the courage to do it, I hope you got something from this episode, and I hope Todd was able to inspire you to do something. So many great nuggets in there. I hope something stuck out to you. And I encourage you, as Todd did, that if you were motivated by anything in there, that you take action. A vision is just a dream until you take action. And then it becomes something that you can create. If any of that is something you'd like to talk about, I'm here. I'd love to have a conversation with you and answer your questions about any part of this process. And you can hop over to scriptorpublishinggroup.com to sign up for a quick consult call with me, and we can talk about it further. I also hope you'll continue to follow Todd. He has so many incredible projects going on, coaching programs, live events that he even mentioned some in this interview. If you like that energy, if you need to be around people that are making a positive impact in this world, that's what this community is all about. It's what Todd is all about, and it's what he surrounds himself with. So if that moves you, then please be sure to follow Todd. All of his connections are in the show notes, and hopefully we'll see you maybe at a live event soon. For now, I'm going to leave it here. I want to thank Todd again for taking the time to sit down with me and letting me have the opportunity to turn the tables and interview him for a change. And again, I invite you, if you or anyone you know is interested in writing a book, feel free to reach out. We love to take people from dream to published.